Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we'd love to hear from you on this edition. The lines are wide open, and we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to add to the conversation, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about prayer that matters this month, and, you know, we've talked about the fact that if we're going to pray effectively, in a way that God hears us, that God answers, it's according to God's will. We pray according to God's will. And when you talk about the will of God, you're talking about the new covenant that we live in. And when you talk about the new covenant, you're talking about the grace of God that saved us and is the very thing that sustains us and fuels us in life. As a matter of fact, grace is the fuel that moves us, transforms us, shapes all that we are and all that we do as believers in Christ. And it really shapes the way we pray. And Paul, I think, was a perfect example of that. And I think as you read through his letters and you look at the way he prayed, you see what prayer according to the will of God is all about. And I think one of the greatest examples is in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 17, where Paul says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." So what did the grace of God move Paul to pray for the people in Ephesus and, you know, in projecting that to us for you and me today? He's praying that we will know God better. And as we know God better, all of life is going to change for us. It's going to be transformed, and we'll see that transformation take place from the inside out. I think this is a powerful prayer, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, it's also a guaranteed answer. I mean, we know, you know, that the Bible tells us whatever we ask in his name, that he's going to respond and be involved and give us a response to that that's positive. And so you say, well, you know, what does that mean to ask in his name? What does it mean to ask in accordance with his will? And this is a perfect example of that, guys, because, you know, this is what's on God's heart anyway. God wants us to know him deeply, to know him intimately, to know what it means for Christ to live in us and for us to live in Christ. And the thing I notice about this prayer is it's not a begging and pleading and hoping and waiting for more of God. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, it seems like in churches across the world, sometimes we'll hear, we got a hunger for more of God. We've got a thirst for more of Jesus. We got to get more of him and come down into this place. And we say all these things as if we need more of God, we need more of Jesus, and we need more of him to swoop down out of heaven. And that's not at all what Paul's prayer is here. Paul's prayer is, show us what we've got. Show us who we've already got. Show us what it means to be blessed with every spiritual blessing. Show us what it means to have an inheritance in Christ. Show us what it means that we have everything we need for life and godliness. In other words, this isn't about getting something. This is about understanding who we already have and what it means to have fullness in him.
Yeah, so Jesus is already in us, so he's here with us. His presence is always with us 24/7. And, you know, when we first come to know Jesus, we know a little bit about him. We know him. We know him. We know God as our Father. We know that our sins have been forgiven. And then we start to see kind of the power of his word and giving us strength and courage to live in this world of darkness as children of light. And then we really get to understand his heart, but he's always with us. And so the more, you know, the more time that passes, we just get to know him better. And that was the prayer of Paul. And I love how this ties back to the new covenant, because one of the promises of the new covenant is that we will all know God, from the least of us to the greatest. So that wasn't true back in the old covenant. That wasn't even a possibility. They could gain some facts about God, but they didn't have a personal, intimate relationship. His presence wasn't in them. his presence was with them in the form of fire and smoke and those sort of things. But when we come to Christ, we see the fullness of who he is in Jesus, and we get to know him, and that growth in our knowledge of him just changes us from the inside out. So a prayer shaped and molded by the grace of God is going to cry out to God, I want to know you better. And boy, folks, if you will start praying that, I guarantee you, as we've talked about all this week, that's a prayer he hears, and you already have what you've asked of him. He is going to reveal himself in greater ways to you than you could ever dream possible. So have some guts, have some courage, like Moses did back when they were at Mount Sinai, and he said, "Show me your glory, God." That's what this prayer is all about. Just really tell me who you are. Show me, reveal it, so I can know you even better. That's a good prayer.
That is a great prayer. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. We want to hear from you on this edition. The phone lines are pretty much wide open, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Exciting news for Canada, as a matter of fact. If you live in British Columbia, Bob Christopher is going to be there at the King Center in Langley on September 23rd and 24th. That's only 9 days away, as a matter of fact. We want all of you, our friends in the area, to come meet Bob and hear the heartening, reassuring message of Basic Gospel. Now, you'll find all the information under the Events tab at basicgospel.net. So for you folks in British Columbia, particularly in the Langley area, Bob would love to meet you on September 23rd and 24th. What's it going to be about, Bob?
Well, we're going to talk about the simple gospel being simply grace and that way of life that we've been called to live. You know, so many people think of grace as just the door that gets us into this salvation. And then once we're in, kind of grace is put on the back shelf. But that's not the truth. The Christian life is a way of grace. It's by grace through faith in Jesus from start to finish. We're going to talk about that. We're going to give you some handles to grab onto as to how that works itself out practically in everyday life. I think you'll walk away with some assurance that God really loves you, that nothing can separate you from the love of God, that your sins have been forgiven once and for all, that you stand in the righteousness of God, that will never change. And as you step on that rock, then you will have a solid foundation in which to build your life and see the life of Christ being lived out in you in everyday life.
Again, Bob Christopher will be at the King Center in Langley, British Columbia, September 23rd and 24th. And once again, all the information available under the Events tab at basicgospel.net.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fairfax, Virginia and talk with Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. This past Sunday, I heard a sermon that was titled Desperate for a Movement of God. And I'm going to say why I don't agree with that. This sermon was actually used to try to stimulate the whole congregation to more prayer. And I don't mean to undermine or diminish the difficulties that people go through that would prompt a desperate prayer. And the Bible even says Jesus prayed with loud cries. But when you hold that out as a goal, for like the whole congregation, that they need a certain amount of emotional fervency in order for their prayers to be heard, it doesn't quite seem like it's a prayer of faith. I think, like Bob, you were saying earlier, we can actually be confident. And Andrew, you were saying we don't need to like beg and plead and that kind of thing. I think that it's more fleshly when we, this is what people do, is when they want to be heard and they don't think they're being heard, they whip up more emotional fervor, maybe get some more tears going, maybe raise their voice. And I think when we know the heart of God through Jesus, I just don't think that this kind of desperation is necessary for our prayers to be answered. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with that, Chris. I think there's a real temptation in the body of Christ today to think that, in a sense, we're going to persuade God, and that with a higher frequency of prayers, sometimes a higher volume of prayers, the length of those prayers. I mean, Jesus warned against this sort of thing. He warned against the meaningless repetition of prayers and the idea that we would be heard for for our many words. And what we're talking about on Basic Gospel today is not the quantity of prayers. It's not the frequency or the volume of prayers. What we're talking about is simply aligning ourselves with the heart of God when we pray. What is on God's heart already? What is God into? What's his agenda? What does he want to do in our lives? And so when we pray by the Spirit, and we pray, as the Bible says, in the Spirit, that's not some sort of magical feeling. It has nothing to do with a volume or a tone or even the words used. It has much more to do with the heart of that prayer. Are we in touch with what Christ Jesus is doing in us and what his agenda is for us? Are we praying a gospel prayer? Are we praying a new covenant prayer? Are we praying a grace prayer? Are we praying in line with the truth of the gospel? And when that's the case, Chris, we don't have to worry about how many words did I use? How often did I pray? Did I sound desperate enough? Did I cry enough? Was I emotional enough? You know, what was my tone? What was my frequency? None of that stuff. God is looking at the heart, and God answers prayer because it's according to his will. That's why he answers it, not because we scream loud enough or work hard enough at prayer. So I think that's a really important distinction to make.
I have a question, kind of a follow-up question for us to discuss. You know, Chris was asking about kind of praying in a movement of God. Mm-hmm. You know, we look around the world and we can see some great needs out there, and if revival could just happen. And so, you know, we try to get together and let's pray in a revival. Let's bring that about through our prayers, and that's not something we can really do. I think when people really see their real need, that's when revival happens.
Yeah.
That's when prayers are offered up saying, Lord, what can I do to be saved? And Lord, have mercy on me. And all of those things that have kicked off the great revivals of history. People have simply recognized their need, that they have come to a point in their lives that they can't go beyond their physical limitations. They've gotten as far as human effort can take them, and they still see that they're helplessly and hopelessly lost. At that point, folks cry out to God, and that's when revival and those things can happen in large volume, when a lot of people start seeing that need. We can't artificially make that happen, can we?
No, we can't. The issue here is that so much of the church goes back into the old covenant to try to do in old covenant terms what the Spirit is doing under the new covenant. In the old covenant, here's a beautiful story in Jonah. Now, after Jonah runs away and God brings him back, Jonah finally goes to Nineveh and says, 40 days, God's going to destroy this place. It spreads like wildfire. Finally, the king hears, and we have a mass approach to God, please don't destroy us. Completely appropriate within the old covenant story. God hears that and relents, does not destroy Nineveh. Well, we think that because it happened for Nineveh, we can pray the same thing over New York City, for example, or Dallas, or Los Angeles, or pick the place in the world. That's not how it works now. I mean, you were just talking about the new covenant and the promises that, you know, you won't have to go and say, know the Lord, because they will all know me. I am reaching out to them in Jesus with the Holy Spirit. I am coming to them individually, and he gives us, as his children, the privilege of harvesting, of showing up one by one, one on one, to say, Jesus really is that answer. Can I tell you about him? There's where the change happens. It's not mass hypnosis or mass hysteria or any of that kind of thing. It is Jesus working individually and giving us a chance to work with him as he does his thing.
Yeah. And a word about revival, too. You know, I think sometimes this term can often be misunderstood. Look, if you're a Christian, You don't need to be revived in your heart. You don't need to be revived in your spirit. If you're a child of God, you're alive. You're either alive in Christ or you're dead in Adam, but you're not half alive, half dead. We don't need resuscitation. We don't need revival in our hearts or in our spirits. Now, you know, just as we were seeing in Ephesians 1, our understanding might need to be revived. Our understanding might need to be greater. Our knowledge of the Lord grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's growth there. You could say there's revival, if you want to call it that. But, I mean, revival sort of, you know, makes us sound like we're dead and we need to come alive again. And I would say that our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is something that is progressive. We're understanding. We're getting a renewing of the mind. All of that is in process. But let's make no mistake that if you're in Christ, you're as alive as you'll ever be. If you are a new creation, you are as alive as you'll ever be. And the only thing that is progressing and changing is that we are getting a renewing of the mind and we're growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, Chris, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate the question.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Chris. 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock. 844-322-2742. Once again, for those of you who are tuning in a little bit later, Bob Christopher is going to be in Langley, British Columbia at the King Center there in Langley on September 23rd and 24th. It's the next stop on the Simple Gospel Tour, and we want you to be a part of it if you live in the area. Again, the 23rd and 24th, that's only 9 days away. All the information is available under the events tab at basicgospel.net. So for you folks in British Columbia, Bob would like to meet you on September 23rd and 24th. Events of the events tab at basicgospel.net. There you'll find all the information. Well, a listener named Teresa dropped us a voicemail question under the... as a matter of fact, it plays perfectly into the subject this month, a prayer. And she has a question concerning God's will concerning prayer. Let's listen to that question right now.
My name is Teresa from Alabama, and God has removed my friends from me. And my family, I don't have family in my life, and all I have is my best friend is Jesus, and I have prayed God's will in my life. I don't know what he's doing, but I want to know what my purpose is in life. So I'm just in constant prayer, and I think we're living in the end times, so I'm just staying close to the Lord. But how can you know your purpose in life?
Wow, that's a great question, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So, Andrew, how can we know our purpose in life?
Well, I think it comes down to, look, if you're living on a deserted island alone, or if you have a family of 40 around you, or if you have 10 friends or one friend or no friend on this planet, your purpose, when you get down to the core of it, is what we've been talking about, and that is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a relationship that no one on earth can take from you. It's unshakable, unbreakable, irrevocable, can't be revoked or taken away. He'll never leave us. So, guys, when we whittle it down to its very core, I mean, that's what God intended in the Garden of Eden. There was relationship, walking with the Lord, and today, in many respects, we've got something better. As Bob was saying earlier, it's not just walking with the Lord, but Christ lives in you. And that's something greater than Old Testament folks experienced. So to Teresa, number one, I would say, you know, it can be painful to lose people around you. We lose family members. We lose friendships. People either pass away, they go to be with the Lord, or they move away. Or in some cases, we experience rejection. And, you know, first, I would say when she references her situation as God has removed these people, you don't need to try to ascribe that to God. I don't think that God is in the business of just stripping away all friends and all loved ones. But the reality is that we live in a fallen world, and it is painful, and people die, and there's disease and death and faulty DNA. And then there's rejection and that sort of thing. And everyone is made of glass, I like to say. And ultimately, everything, all of that comes shattering down. And the only thing left standing is the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him. So I think Teresa is wise in that she is focused on the Lord. I would encourage her, if she's got opportunity, to reach out and make a new friend, to connect with other people. That can be healthy and encouraging. And don't assume that God's not up to that. God may be up to that in the very near future. But no matter what, whether we've got 100 friends, one friend, or no friends, we are a friend of God, and He'll never leave us, will He?
No, He won't. Let me ask this, as far as purpose is concerned. Do you think sometimes we're thinking or using that word in terms of plan? You know, what activity am I supposed to be in, or what ministry am I supposed to be in? And that can change, can it, over time?
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes God can have us on one assignment and then maybe another assignment. I think the key is knowing that Christ is alive, living in you, and then second, making yourself available to Him. Now, you know, He's unpredictable and surprises us all of the time. And so I think if we make ourselves available to Him, we're going to be surprised at the things that He connects us with, as far as those works that we can walk in that He's prepared beforehand for us to experience and to enjoy. So I think it really gets down to making yourself available. And I think when you make yourself available, your eyes get open to the needs around you. And then the Spirit can move in your heart to take a step of faith in that direction and to help out and to serve those particular needs. I think it's a very simple thing that if we can just focus on Christ is alive living in me, I'm making myself available, that's a combination for an exciting life.
Yeah. The tendency we have of publicizing the big things. You know, somebody walks into a village in South America and miracles occur. That's, oh, wow. Well, there's the greatest miracle in the world is one person leading another person to Jesus. And when you make yourself available, regardless, right in your neighborhood, in your apartment building, there might be just one person that God has absolutely sent you to talk to. And if you let yourself be led to do that and walk by faith in that, that's huge. And it's unbelievably huge in terms of the kingdom. So purpose is a beautiful thing. It's not necessarily a big thing.
Yes.
Yeah, let me just share one more thing. I don't think we want to underestimate the beauty of what I call, you know, opportunities to share or output. That, you know, Teresa has so much input. She's familiar with the gospel. Mm-hmm. She has Christ living in her. Her mind's being renewed. But being able to share and reach out and connect and love on other people, that can be tremendously fulfilling. So look for those opportunities. And as Bob says, just be available to the God of the universe.
Yeah, it's that river of life that flows through us and you know, fills us and then flows out of us into the lives of others. And that's that complete cycle. And loving God, loving others. That's what it's all about. But it starts with that dependency upon the Lord, being available to the Lord. And then, you know, watch out. Strap on that seatbelt. Jesus Christ is raised. He's alive, living in us. And He is on the loose.
We can
trust Him to do incredible things in and through us. Bob?
Teresa, thank you for your question. And friends, if you'd like to record a question for us to play on the air, go to basicgospel.net, click the radio drop-down menu, and then select on-air question. We'd love to hear from you in that way as well. Teresa, I hope that's been a help to you. Bob Christopher is going to be in Langley, British Columbia, September 23rd and 24th at the King's Center for the next stop on the Simple Gospel Tour. It's going to be a great time, a very assuring, heartening message that he will bring to the area. You'll find all the information under the events tab at basicgospel.net. So again, for you folks in British Columbia, the Langley area particularly, Bob would love to meet you on September 23rd and 24th, just 9 days away. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and Andrew and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel.